الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته الله سبحانه وتعالى has created us and sent us into this world for a limited period of time to make preparations for the life hereafter. And in order for one to make preparations for the life hereafter, it is a must that he controls his nafs. The person who is able to subjugate his nafs, the person who is able to control his nafs, he will become successful in this world and also in the hereafter. On the contrary, the person who is unable to subjugate his nafs, the person who is unable to keep his nafs under control, he will never be able to become successful, neither in this world nor in the hereafter. It is for this reason our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has made this statement, al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu. The clever one is he who keeps his nafs under control. If the nafs is nafse ammara, the nafs has three conditions. One condition is that it is ammara. The other condition is it is lawwama. And the third condition is it is mutmainna. If the nafs is nafse ammara, then it is at its lowest ebb. It is not in control at all. If it is nafse lawwama, to a certain extent it is under control, to a certain extent it is free. And if it is mutmainna, it is completely under control. And when nafs becomes nafse mutmainna, when nafs is subjugated, when nafs is brought under control, then at the time of death, when the malakul maut will arrive to take the soul into the hereafter, the malakul maut will say, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna, O the nafse mutmainna, O the soul that is completely under subjugation. Oh, the nafs that is completely under control. Oh, the nafs that will only do that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will always abstain from that which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Irji'i ila Rabbi. Return to your Rabb. Radiyatan mardiyya. You are happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah is happy with you.
Subhanallah.
You are happy because you are mutma'inna. You followed all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You abstain from all the disobediences to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you the bliss of the hereafter, the everlasting bliss of the hereafter. So Allah will make you happy. So return to your Rabb whilst you are happy with your Rabb and your Rabb is happy with you. فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. Allah will say, enter my Jannah. Enter my Jannah. Enter amongst my loyal servants. So we need to, my friends, subjugate our nafs and bring it under total control. If it is nafse lawwama, then we still have some hope. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes oath of nafse lawwama. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take oath of something that is not worthy of respect, that is not worthy of reverence. So Allah says, لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes oath of nafs اللوامة. Nafs أمارة. When the nafs is at its lowest ebb, what is the condition of nafs أمارة? It does only one thing. It invites a person towards sinful activities only. It is always whispering, it is always encouraging the person to do bad only. The thought of doing good never occurs in the mind. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. The nafs is continually ordering the person to do evil. Su is evil, bad. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. النَّفْسَ لَوَّامَةٌ. Nafse lawwama, when a person exerts effort and he tries to reform this nafse ammara, he tries to make this sick nafs healthy. So it reaches the higher stage and it becomes nafse lawwama. And it tries to abstain from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It tries, but it is still not strong enough to abstain and resist. So it tries, the good thought comes, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. I want to wake up for Fajr Salah, I want to make sure I go to the masjid and perform Salat with Jama'ah. I do not want to do this, I do not want to do this, I do not want to do this. So it begins to think right. Nafse mutmainna can never think right. Nafsi Ammara always towards the left. I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this, always towards the left. I want to commit adultery, I want to commit fornication, I want to watch movies, I want to listen to music, I want to backbite, I want to consume haram, always towards the left. And as far as the right is concerned, Nafsi Ammara's attitude is, I do not want to perform Salat. I do not want to recite the Quran. I do not want to engage in the Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I do not want to do anything good. And when it becomes Lawwama, it begins to think right. It begins to think right. So its focus is towards the right. I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. And towards the left, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this. But because it is still unhealthy, it finds itself helpless in carrying out the things on the right and in abstaining from the things that are on the left. So it falls. It falls prey to shaitan. It falls prey to the whispers of shaitan and it sleeps. But after sleeping, because its thinking is correct now, it feels sorrowful and regretful Lawama, it scores itself. Why did you do this? You are so filthy. You shouldn't have done this. This is not something that befits a Muslim. You are a Muslim. How can you do this? How can you disobey the Creator? As far as Ammara is concerned, it never goes towards good. It is always going towards evil, and it finds pleasure. After committing the sin, it finds pleasure. He smiles within his heart. He laughs after doing bad, and he intends to do that bad in the future. Oh, this was great. I want to do it again. This was great. I enjoyed this. These people are fools. Why do they wake up early in the morning for Fajr Salat? What do they find in Fajr Salat? What do they find in waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning? These people go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 1 week, 10 days, 30 days. They leave all the luxuries of home. What do they find in the path of Allah? These people go and submit themselves to their mashayikh. And they only do what their mashayikh tells them to do. Why? What do they find in all that? Pleasure. They are missing all the fun. They are missing all the pleasure. They are missing all the excitement. That is nafsi ammara. And nafsi lawama, no, it begins to think, right? I can't do this. I don't want to do this. I shouldn't be doing this. I want to stop, but I can't stop. It tries. It fails. Sometimes it succeeds. Sometimes it fails. Whenever it succeeds, it is thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever it fails, it is regretful. It is regretful. Lawama. Lawama. It is regretful. It is sorrowful. And when a nafs becomes nafse lawama, it is a sign that it is more closer to becoming mutmainna than it is towards ammara. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes oath of nafse lawama. La uqsimu bi yawmi al-qiyamati wa la uqsimu bin nafse lawama. And thereafter, the person continues striving, and a time comes when the nafs becomes nafse mutmainna. Nafse mutmainna. Now, the nafse mutmainna is completely under control. Completely under control. So, for as long as the nafs is not under control, my friends, to have hopes of becoming successful in the hereafter is not hope. It is deceiving oneself. Nafs is nafsi ammara. Nafs is nafsi ammara, and a person is not trying at all to make that nafsi ammara into nafsi lawwama, and from nafsi lawwama to bring it to the pedestal of nafsi mutmainna. Not trying. And he just relaxed, and he is thinking to himself that Allah will forgive me. Allah will forgive me because he is Ghafoor. Allah will have mercy upon me because he is Rahman, he is Rahim. This is not hope. Hope. The word for hope in the Arabic language is Raja. This is not hope. This is Ghurur. There is a difference between Raja and Ghurur. There is a difference between hope and deceiving oneself. If a person does not cultivate the land, and a person does not throw seeds, and a person does not water the land, and thereafter he sits at home and he says, at the end of the season, I will harvest the crop. Everybody will say, this is not hope, this is not raja, this is ghurur, this is deceiving oneself. Similarly, a person does not do anything for the hereafter. He does not cultivate the land for the hereafter, he does not throw seeds, he does not water, he does not clean his field, he does not look after his field, and he relaxes, sits back and he says, Allah is Ghafoorul Rahim, and I have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive me. This is not hope, this is ghurur. This is ghurur, and this is shaitan deceiving a person until he will finally breathe his last. And when he finally breathes his last, he will find himself standing at the brink of Jannah, brink of Jahannam. And shaitan at that time will say, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانَ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. Shaitan at that time will say that I made a promise to you. And that promise was my whisper that Allah is all forgiving, He is going to forgive you. Allah is all forgiving, He is going to forgive you. Allah is all merciful, He is going to show mercy and He will forgive you without you having to do anything. Why worry? Allah is very merciful. Shaitan will say, وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. I made a promise, but I cheated you. I cheated you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made a promise to you that if you strive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you contentment of heart in this world. a good departure at the time of death. Allah will make your qabr a garden from the gardens of Jannah. Allah will grant you shayr under his throne on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will grant you your book of deeds in your right hand. Allah will grant you entry into Jannah without having to go in Jahannam with the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Saliheen. Allah had made this promise that you have to strive. You have to wake up in the morning to perform Fajr Salah. You have to lower your gaze. You have to control your tongue. You have to control your ears. You have to sacrifice. You have to control your base desires. If you do this, I will give you 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 this. And Shaitan was making promises, false promises, that enjoy this worldly life as well, and Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. Because He is Ghafoorur Rahim, the Qabr is yours, the Hashr is yours, Pur Sirat is yours, Jannat is yours. And because He is Ghafoorur Rahim, He will forgive you and He will give you everything in the hereafter. Enjoying this world is yours as well. So Shaitan himself will say on the day of Qiyamah, when we will turn to him and say that you made all these promises and we are going in the fire of hell with you, he will say, Inna Allah wa'adakum wa'ad al-haq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made a true promise to you, and I also made a promise, but it was a false promise. وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلِيكُم مِّن سُلْطَانِ. But I had no authority over you. All I did was whisper. وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلِيكُم مِّن سُلْطَانِ. I had no authority over you. إِلَّا أَن دَعَوْتُكُمْ. I only invited you. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. And you accepted my invitation. Allah was inviting you towards Jannah. وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُو إِلَى دَارِ السَّلَامِ. Allah was inviting you towards Jannah, Darus Salam. And Shaitan, إِنَّمَا يَدْعُو حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنَ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. And I was inviting you towards Jannah. You readily, without any force, without my compelling you, accepted my invitation and you continued to do whatever I was telling you. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not lament me, lament yourselves. مَا أَنَا بِمُسْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُسْرِخِي. Today, neither you will be able to help me, nor will I be able to help you. We are all going to go in the fire of Jahannam. So my friends, nafs, we have to bring it under control. Nafs. It is for this reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it very clear. Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu. The clever one is he who controls his base desires. Who subjugates his nafs. Who brings his nafs under control. Once the nafs is under control, smoking is no problem. Leaving smoking is no problem once the nafs is mutmainna, nafs is under control. Abstaining from drug, no problem. Abstaining from alcohol, no problem. Abstaining from lustful gazes, no problem. Abstaining from watching movies, no problem. Abstaining from music, no problem. Once the nafs is under control. And once nafs is under control, a person will be able to abstain from everything that Allah dislikes. And he will be able to carry out everything that Allah likes. And if a person is able to abstain from everything that Allah dislikes, and he is able to carry out all those things which Allah likes, then he will be granted the everlasting bliss in the hereafter, regarding which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says in a hadith of Qudsi, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ. I have prepared for my pious servants, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَعَدْ, what no eye has seen, وَلَا وُذُونٌ سَمِيَتْ, what no ear has heard, وَلَا خَتَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرْ, what no mind has thought of. So, contentment of heart in this world, Alhamdulillah. If we are able to subjugate the nafs, we will be able to carry out the commands of Allah. We will be able to abstain from the don'ts. We will be able to carry out the do's. And once we are able to do that, this world is ours and the hereafter is ours. Mera kamal ishq, bas itna hai ye jigar. Jigar Muradabadi said, Mera kamal ishq, bas itna hai ye jigar. Wo mujh pe chha gaye, main zamane pe chha gaya. My peak of ishq is that I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that because of my love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am able to control my nafs. Allah has covered me from all four directions. Allah rules my life. Allah rule, I do not do anything against the wishes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am continually in the thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before I take any step, will my creator feel happy? Will my creator be happy? Mera kamal ishq, the peak of my ishq, the peak of my love is that I love my creator, and my creator has overshadowed me. And because he has overshadowed me, I am continually monitoring my nafs, and I always subjugate my nafs, and because nafs is under my control, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has turned the hearts of his creation towards me. Wo mujh pe chha gaye, main zamane pe chha gaye. So friends, let us make a firm resolution, especially my young friends. This is the time to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the time to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the time when the nafs is at its strongest point. So when a person tackles his nafs, when a person opposes his nafs when he is young, then he acquires the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in leaps and bounds. In leaps and bounds. When a person is old, it is not difficult for him to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person is young, it is very difficult to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is very difficult to curb the desire. It is very difficult to subjugate the nafs. It is very difficult to bow down before Allah, bow down before Haq, bow down before what is right, what is truth. This is the time. So make a firm resolution that inshallah we will subjugate our nafs. Once we subjugate our nafs, then the hereafter is ours. This world is ours. And how are we able to subjugate our nafs? There are many things a person can do to subjugate the nafs, to control the nafs. But two things are very, very beneficial. One is remembering death and the stages after death. Remembering death, that a time is going to come, a day is going to come, when I will be lying flat on my bed, my ruh will be extracted and nobody will be able to help me. Nobody will be able to help me. Wealth, family, friends, nothing will be able to help me. Finally, my ruh will be extracted and I will be placed in the grave. Nobody will be with me there. In the darkness of the grave, I will find myself on my own, with my amal only, good deeds or bad deeds. Bad deeds, I am doomed. Good deeds, successful forever. Then I will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, if my amal are not good, nobody will be with me. I will be made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask me questions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask me questions. Allah will ask me that, where did you spend your entire life? Thereafter Allah will specifically question me regarding my youth. Where did you spend your youth? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question me from where did you earn wealth. Allah will question me where did you spend that wealth. For each penny I will have to answer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question me that I gave you knowledge. How much did you practice upon that knowledge? Think my friend, think. How will we face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How will we face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I have a friend of mine, a young friend, he is a pharmacist. He has recently moved to Leicester from another city. So I asked him, I said, MashaAllah, you bought a house in Leicester. Have you sold the house in the previous city? He said, no, I was not able to sell the house. The offers were not according to my expectations. So I said, how did you purchase this house? Because he is spiritually associated to me. And he is a pharmacist. But he has a lot of love for me. Alhamdulillah, he is concerned about his deen also. So I said, how did you purchase this house in Leicester? So he could not answer me. So I said, as soon as possible, you should sell the house and remove the sin of interest from your life. Pay the mortgage as soon as possible. So he left me. He did not say anything. He left me and he said that I have made a firm resolution that even if I have to make a loss, I will make a loss, but I will sell the house and pay the mortgage as soon as possible. And he said, I have come to this conclusion because when you asked me this question, I could not see you eye to eye. So the thought came to me that if Allah asks me on the day of Qiyamah, how will I be able to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allahu Akbar. A pharmacist, my friends. A pharmacist is thinking this way. That if I could not face my Shaykh when he asked me regarding the mortgage, and I could not answer him, I could not talk to him, I could not look at him, how will I show my face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is only one sin. Our lives are filled with sins. So think about the hereafter. And secondly, enlighten your hearts and minds with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, the dhikr of the tongue is also very precious. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. But we need to keep ourselves, associate ourselves to professionals, to experts, to mashayikh, and learn from them and progress in zikr, so that not only our tongues become zakir, but also our hearts and minds. So whenever the thought of the akhirah will come, we will be able to curb our nafs. And whenever the thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain in our mind, that Allah is watching me, Allah is watching me, Allah is watching me, we will never be able to commit sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ittaqullah, abstain from the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means, curb your base desires. Only then you will be able to abstain from disobedience to Allah. Abstain from disobedience to Allah. That means control your nafs. And what does Allah say further? وَلْتَنْظُرُ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. Think about the hereafter. And further Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Curb your desires. Abstain from disobedience to Allah. وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah is fully aware of whatever you are doing. So these two remedies, if we apply in our lives, inshallah we will be able to control our nafs. One is to continually think about the life hereafter. Once a week, once a fortnight, once a month, visit the graveyard. And visit the graveyard with not only one objective, that I have come to the graveyard so that the people of graveyard will benefit from me. No, with another objective also, that I have come to the graveyard, so the people of graveyard will benefit from me and I will benefit from them. That I will look at the grave, I will look at the various graves and think about myself, that one day I will also find myself amongst the dwellers of the grave. Read books such as Remembrance of Death, written by Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, which is an extract from the virtues of Sadaqah, Fadaila Sadaqah. And also, once a week, once a fortnight, once a month at least, sit down in a quiet corner of your home, better if it's in the darkness, and close your eyes and think about the stages after death. My ruh is being extracted. I am a dead person now. People are bathing me. People are shrouding me. People are carrying me towards the qabristan. My janazah is, salatul janazah is being performed. People are taking me to the grave. And now I am in the grave. People are closing the grave. Malakul Munkar Nakir, they are coming to question me now. So worry about the hereafter and engage in zikr. Zikr of the tongue, associate yourselves to the mashayikh and learn the higher form of zikr until your heart and mind become zakir. Inshallah, once this happens, we will be able to control our nafs. And when we are able to control our nafs, inshallah, this world is ours and the hereafter is ours. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.